John Brown still off on vacation. He'll be back next week. I'm Paul Harris, proud to be back behind the microphone here at the Big 550 KTRS, and I thank you for listening. Jake Johansson's in St. Louis to work the Funny Bone. He did a show last night. He'll do a couple tonight. He'll be working there three shows tomorrow night as well, and he's here in the studio with me today, and it's great to see you again.
It's great to see you too, Paul. Yeah, it's a lot of shows. I'm doing a lot of shows.
Yes, you are.
It's all day radio and TV today, and then tomorrow I only have three shows.
When I was promoting that you'd be here, I called you one of the best touring comedians in the country, and I said, and I think it's been like 15, maybe 20 years, and then I went to your website last night, jakethis.com, and there's a montage of your performances. I didn't know that you performed on The Tonight Show when Johnny Carson was there. That must have been right when you were starting out.
That was at the beginning. That was kind of at the beginning of my career. That's a long time. That's one of those ones where you're proud of it. I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's sort of a given. I've got it. I'm not 23. You can tell that.
Yeah. If you've been touring as a comedian for two decades, unlikely you're in your 20s.
You can't be in your 20s anymore. No, it's tricky. It's very tricky.
And are you touring as much as you used to now that you've got a wife and a daughter?
Well, now this year, a little bit less this year on account of the economy. Have you heard? There's been a small glitch with the economy. Yes, there's been a little bit of a hiccup. But I think we're going to be fine. It's not a big deal, right? The economy, it's all going to... I just was listening to there's another Ponzi scheme today.
Yeah.
Everybody's into Ponzi schemes.
Yeah.
It turns out if you're on the end of the Ponzi scheme where you made up the Ponzi scheme, they can be really good.
Yes.
If you're the other guy or the other lot of people, yeah, it's not so good.
I think the key was to be Ponzi. Not Fonzie from Happy Days, but Ponzi, the guy who came up with that first thing. How about that, to come up with a scam so good that it's forever named after you?
They're still doing the scam. He's got to be celebrating over 100 years of the invention of that Ponzi. It's still going.
Yeah, I don't know when his centennial was, but it's certainly been around for
probably
a very long
time. It's got to be around Tiddlywinks. I don't know when they came out with Tiddlywinks, but there's probably people listening who don't even know what that is.
It was invented by a guy named Fred Tiddly.
And it's a great game if you're five or seven, but nobody plays that anymore. But people are still Ponzi-ing other people out of money.
So is there such a thing as a comedian Ponzi scheme or a comedy Ponzi scheme? You don't run into that on the road, do you?
No, it's a pretty straightforward deal, the comedy scheme that I'm running, which is, you come down for either one of the two shows. You don't have to be in for both shows.
Right.
It doesn't matter. It's the same amount of happiness that you walk away with, whether you come to the early show or the late show.
Right.
It's at your convenience.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add that in with the other people's happiness, and everybody gets a little, like a 10-20% bump.
Right.
And we all go home happy. It works out. You're actually creating something out of nothing.
It's not a comedy pyramid scheme, but everybody walks away with something.
Look, I'm not in charge of your whole life or your financial happiness investment.
Right.
But just if you put me in charge of tonight or tomorrow, I think I can I think I can put together that evening for you.
For at least 1 hour, your life.
For at least 1 hour of your life. I can be in charge of at least 1 hour of your life. And there are people over the years who've put in, 10 or even 20 hours of their lives with me and I think are happy with their return.
I would be one of those people, as has my wife, as you know. And in fact, today's our anniversary. How are we celebrating it? Going out to a nice Italian dinner, then coming to see Jake Johansson at the Funny Bone.
That's a great way to do. Are you coming to the late show or the early show?
The early show.
Yeah, because we're grown up people. We don't have, I have to go to the late show.
Yeah.
But it's really, they call it the late show because it's late. It's 10:30.
Yeah.
Who goes out to a show at 10:30? Believe me, a lot of people, it's full of them.
Yes.
But not when I'm at home. I ain't no going out at 10:30.
No.
Because I've got a five-year-old, and you can't be out that late because it doesn't matter when you go to bed.
Yeah.
They're getting up.
Yes.
Whenever they get up. And it's sort of a surprise. We're still at the surprise get-up of, could be 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
Probably between 6:30 and 7:30, but it could be 9 o'clock.
Wow.
Every once in a while you win that 9 o'clock. It's like the wheel of fortune, the wheel of sleep. Sometimes you hit it, 9 o'clock.
Free spin, woohoo!
Yeah, so you feel really like a jackass if you stay out until, midnight.
Yeah.
Or 1 in the morning.
Ooh.
You're really risking the wheel of sleep because if she decides she's getting up at 5:30,
yeah,
you do the math.
See, I've got a 15-year-old, and it's the summer, and so for her, where that wheel of sleep is either 10:30 or 11:30. That's how late she's going to sleep.
Man, I remember when that was me. I remember when I was in that world.
Yeah.
And that's not that long ago. And that's when I was did that Tonight Show the first time. There were still 10 more years of that. 10:30, 11:30.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This is a good job if you don't have a family and you can sleep till whenever you want to sleep to.
See, I made a mistake with my daughter early on. I told her a story about my youth that when I was a teenager, I would sleep as late as I possibly could on the weekend, but my mom hated that, and she'd come pounding on the door at 10 or 10:30 on a Saturday morning. Hey, are you going to sleep all day? And I was a wise guy, so I would say, I would if you wouldn't pound on the door. Well, now I'm the dad, and my daughter is sleeping that late, and I can't go and pound on the door because she's going to be the wise guy who gives me that same attitude.
Do you only have a daughter?
That's it.
That's me, too. I only have a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So are we going to be, what do? Do you make her mow the lawn and do all the stuff that you had to do, just even though she's female?
Well, she's got.
She still has to do it, right?
Absolutely. A kid has chores.
Right.
Yeah. I will say this, and I know I'll get some grief for saying this, but I do at times consider it like we have a little slave in the house.
Well, yeah, but she does get paid. I mean, it's not a complete...
What do you mean she gets paid?
Well, are you buying her books and her clothes and her... I mean, I guess
yes,
it is.
Oh,
I guess it is a little bit like a slave. You know, she gets her books, her clothes, and her supplies, but she can't go independent.
But there's a little part of me, and you'll find this as your daughter grows older, there's a little part of me that looks at, like, a sink full of dishes after dinner, then I know that I'm probably supposed to be the adult who takes care of that because my wife made dinner that night. As you know, sometimes we reverse those, and I'll make it. And she's
like, I understand. You don't have to explain to me. We're modern men.
Absolutely.
Sometimes we make dinner.
Absolutely. And so I'll look at that pile of dishes in the sink, and I'll think to myself, where's the slave? Because this is one of those times when I get, you're going to do the dishes tonight.
You do the dishes. Where she ate for free. She
That's
did
right.
eat for free.
Absolutely.
My thing with the dishes, I would rather have my wife do the dishes when she cooks and I'll do the dishes when I cook.
Yeah.
Because when I'm cooking, I clean as I go. And so then when I'm done, there's, you know, the last bad pan and maybe a bowl.
Yes.
But when my wife cleans, like, she's on her own cooking show.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, there's just no awareness at all that anyone is going to have to clean up anything.
Yeah.
And
she's using extra spatulas just to screw
extra
you.
Put it in here and then put the other one in there and then mix them together in a third one. And then all three of those are dirty and they don't get reused and they don't get rinsed.
Yeah.
And the knife that you just cut, you know, one stalk of celery with that you could really just run under this faucet and wipe off.
Yeah.
She throws that in the sink so it gets butter and oil on it so that's got to be dealt with. And then I'm sort of the jerk when I call attention to it, to the, like, when you clean up after me, it's a 3 out of 10.
Yeah.
But when I clean up after you, it's always a 10.
Yeah.
So,
also,
these are problems that we have.
Also, when you clean up after your own cooking, you can determine how much of a mess there's going to be based on what you've decided that you're going to cook that night.
Yeah, sometimes you leave an ingredient out. Yeah.
Or, you know what, we're going to have a really simple dinner tonight. I've decided for dinner tonight, cereal.
I'm going to open, you know that they have chicken that comes in a can, and you get that out. And you cut up some cheese.
Yeah.
Okay, so you heat up the chicken in the pan, you add the cheese to create a kind of a stretchy,
gooey
mixture.
Yes.
And then you get some hot sauce, finish it off.
There's dinner.
Boom.
It's all
done.
In one
piece of toast. You piece of toast. You put that on top of the toast. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome dinner.
Toast, a great addition, because who thinks to themselves, well, now I have to clean the toaster? No one.
Nobody.
No
Nobody
one.
Ever cleans a toaster. You throw that thing away dirty.
In fact, you know, it's funny you should mention that. A few weeks ago, my wife did something I've never seen her do. And again, it's anniversary today, 26 years. So we've been together a long time. I've never seen her do this. She emptied the crumb tray in the toaster.
It may turn out that she's been doing that all along. It's one of those magic kind of things where you just never seen her do it.
Well, yes, that's
right. Did you ask her if that was her first time ever?
No, I didn't. I was so stunned, not only that I was seeing her do it, but that there was a crumb tray.
That's what I was going to say. I'm trying now to think about my toast. Our toaster, we had to buy a new toaster, and we got a 4-slice toaster because sometimes people are over, and you get bagels and coffee in the morning because that's a cheap way to host people.
Absolutely. And come over for brunch.
Yeah,
that's bagels, cream cheese,
and coffee. We sliced up a tomato. How about it? Now half of that toaster is dead, so we're struggling on, which is fine when it's just the two of us, but we did have some people over the other day.
Yeah.
And they, you know, the lady's got her, you know, bagel in the dead side of the toaster. I'm like, it's never going to get done over there.
No, the wires are not getting hot on that side.
But I am not aware that probably has a crumb tray, right?
Well, I don't know. We don't have a we have a like a toaster oven.
Oh, well, those
it's
all
not
have
like
a
toaster oven. It actually is a toaster oven. But I've been around on this planet for a long, long time. I didn't know there was such a thing as a crumb tray. I don't know
on the
what
toaster
I was
oven.
Thinking.
I did know that. What's the over under on the toaster oven on days or weeks or months or years before you burn the bread bag onto the top? That's it's under a year, right? You do that under a year.
You're talking about the little piece of plastic that is melted on there permanently?
Well, you've got the bread sitting on top of the toaster because that's where you keep it, the toaster oven. So you get a couple pieces of bread out to make toast, and you forget and set it back on top
there.
Yes,
you forget heat
and
plus then plastic
and
is
then,
bad.
And then halfway through your toast making, you realize that is the worst smelling toast I've ever smelled. And then when you, by the time you know, and then you grab the bag, and of course the bottom is gone because it's stuck to the thing, and all the bread flies everywhere. But it doesn't matter because it's covered with plastic anyway. You can't eat it. But I'm just saying that happens early in the life of the toaster
oven. Absolutely.
And then you have that as a reminder.
I don't think in all the times that I've gone to visit somebody else's house that I've ever seen a toaster oven that did not have that telltale little plastic
piece
mark.
Of bag on top. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the toaster oven is not the cleanest appliance.
No.
It's really, you love it, but it's like that relationship. We're married now, so these days are gone. But that relationship where you, the girlfriend that you can't, no one can believe that you're with, but you just love her. You know, that's how that toaster oven is.
That's exactly right.
It's terrible, but they're all, it's going to wind up that way.
And then one day you find out there was a crumb tray and the relationship's over.
Could have been great. There I wrote on the front of the microwave with what I thought was an, dry erase marker.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I, our name that we call each other is Fatty.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote, I love you, Fatty, mm-hmm. on the front of the microwave.
And you thought it would wipe away later?
I thought it was a dry erase marker, but it wasn't.
Sharpie.
And, yeah, so now the microwave, that's written on the microwave forever.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily there's a door that you can close over the front of the microwave so everybody doesn't have to read it all the time.
Yeah, but good luck with that one at the garage sale.
Yeah, well, yeah, microwave, I'm not. That thing is, that's another one, the microwave. You keep that until it just, until,
you know what?
Until you find out that you're sterile. That something happens, the doctor says, look, you got to get a new microwave because this is actually causing health problems for you.
My wife is convinced that we have to get one for exactly that reason. She said, you know, it's a nuclear device. At some point, doesn't it start to leak? And I said, you know, until it actually physically starts leaking, until I see green glowing goo of some kind protruding under the door while I'm heating up something in there, we're keeping this thing forever.
People do underestimate how much it must be dangerous if they've made it so that there's no way that you can turn it on while it's open.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the oven's dangerous,
mm-hmm.
but you can turn that on when it's open.
Yes. Do you ever doubt the door latch switch on your microwave? You know, you put it there, you see it go 3, 2, 1, beep, beep, beep. Do you ever get it on the first beep and go, oh, I probably shouldn't have done that. Probably still nuclear in there.
Well, no, I don't, but I back away while it's on. I don't stand there and look at it. Yeah. I don't stand there.
Are you shielding yourself? Or?
Like in our early in our relationship, if we didn't have any birth control, then I would stand very close to it. But
right now you've got what,
lead
shielding?
Yeah, but we're fine now, I think. Yeah, we're fine.
You're all right. Comedian Jake Johansson's going to be at the Funny Bone for 2 shows tonight and 3 shows tomorrow night here at Westport Plaza, and we'll come back with more in just a moment. I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS. It's the Big 550 KTRS. I'm Paul Harris, filling in for John Brown. I'm sitting here with comedian Jake Johansson. He's working the Funny Bone tonight for 2 shows and tomorrow night for 3 shows. The Funny Bone, Westport Plaza. He's also online. His website is jakethis.com. And I notice at the bottom of your website, you've got logos for pretty much every social network there is.
Well, not, you know, you have to. Now, in show business, as you are, as I am,
you're
in show business.
This is
show business. As hard as it is for us to believe sometimes, we're in show business. The dream came true for us.
Well, radio.
This is what it's like.
On the showbiz ladder, radio is one step above Carney.
No, listen, on the showbiz ladder, the comedy club, that's the front lines. That's the front lines of show business. That's where you're meeting the audience. I wouldn't
That's
say they're
true.
The opponent because they're sort of on your side, but you're out there. It's not like show business where you have your own TV show, which is awesome. It's awesome to have your own TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Seinfeld, for example, great, great show.
Yes.
But nobody ever hired a babysitter and paid $20 to watch an episode of Seinfeld.
That's correct.
I'm right out there on the front lines of show business.
Absolutely.
And out there on those front lines, you need to count on the people who are coming out and opening up their wallet and having a good time. You know, mm-hmm. you show them a good time and you count on them to come out.
Yeah.
And so one of the things you have to do is figure out a way, like now, where you can get the word out that, hey, I'm Jake. Remember me? I'm that guy from the TV. You like me. You saw me on TV. Remember I was on Letterman. I've 35 times. I've been on there. HBO. Maybe you saw me on that or Comedy Central. You should come out to the Comedy Club because it's a, you remember that good time that we had that one night when you came out?
Yeah.
We can do that again. So you've got to keep having new ways to be able to figure out where people are because
right.
they sometimes don't listen to the radio all the time now because mm-hmm. there's the TV, there's the radio, there's the internet. You know about all these
yeah,
things.
Yeah, those other things should be illegal, but all right, I'm with you.
Yeah, so you got to go on the internet and try and get connected to the people who want to come and see you because
right.
I'm always having people, I get an email from somebody, hey, when are you coming to St. Louis? I just got there. I just walked in the door. I just was in St. Louis. I mean, what do I have to do? I'm on the TV. I'm on the radio. You can get on my email list at jakethis.com.
Go to the website.
MySpace. Facebook, I'm on Twitter, you got to do that. And I sort of, every time you do something like send out your email blast or update your status on Twitter or Facebook, it's like yelling into a drawer in your desk, you know, I'm going to St. Louis! And then you shut the drawer and you wonder, is there really anyone in that drawer? But people come out to the show and they'll say, well, hey, how'd that show you taped in Kansas City go? Yeah, when's that going to come out on TV? Because they heard about it on the website or Facebook or Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are people inside the drawer of my desk listening to me. I had an ice cream cone. They know about that. You know, because that's the world they live in. They're excited. Hey, you know, they might live in Wisconsin or Washington State, but they know that I'm in St. Louis now. And that makes them feel better. Like Ashton Kutcher just bought a pony. That's good news to some people.
Now, do you use Twitter? See, I use Twitter to talk about podcasts that I post on my website or, you know, I wrote some Michael Vick jokes last night and I put those out there on Twitter and that sort of stuff. Do you use it to update people on mundane parts of your life? I'm at Starbucks now. I'm getting a cuff.
I don't really do I'm not that mundane. Like if I'm stuck flying home from somewhere, there's often an update about, I've spent a lot of time in Dallas against my will this year.
Mm.
Or just not, I wouldn't say against my will. I mean, I knew I was going to Dallas. I was only going to be there for an hour.
You weren't thrown in a van and taken to Dallas.
No, I knew I went to Dallas on purpose, but just for an hour to get on another airplane to get out of there.
Oh, I see.
And then you wind up there for an extra 3-4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dallas airport, as great as it is, it doesn't hold up. After a couple hours, you're out of there.
What airport does,
you
frankly?
Yeah, bingo.
Yeah. I mean, once you're there and you're delayed, I don't care how great the airport is. And there are some cities, by the way, that pride themselves on having a great, great airport. Oh, my goodness, people love this airport. How can you love an airport? All I want from the airport is for them to say, your flight is leaving now and there's no one sitting next to you. That's all I care about.
Oh, that is good, that no one's sitting next to you. I forgot how much I'm wishing for that on the way home. Man, that'll be so good if that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Chicago airport's not bad. And then the Dallas airport, there's, I can't believe we're talking about this, but I've been to the Dallas airport a lot of times, and American now has A, B, C, and D terminals.
Mm-hmm.
And the D terminal is the newest one, and it's, you know, big, tall ceiling and a two little kind of shopping restaurant areas.
Yeah.
The D terminal is the suite. That's where you want to get stuck in. Although the Admiral's Club in that terminal, because now I'm an admiral,
ooh, wow,
is not... I like some of the other Admiral's clubs a little bit better in the mm-hmm. Dallas airport. But
see, I don't need all those amenities. And although I will tell you, about 20 years ago, I went and did radio broadcast from Moscow for a week. And you want to talk about a horrible place to be stuck in an airport with a flight delay.
It's just a folding chair and a guy with a gun, right?
Well, it's not much more than that. It's literally not much more than that. And remember, you're in a place where everything they sell to read is in a language you can't read. I don't know the Cyrillic alphabet. I don't speak Russian. So we were delayed 5 hours. What are you going to do in 5 hours? You know, the restaurants closed or horrible food.
Right.
The reading material available, you can't read any of that. The announcements, mm-hmm. you don't understand any of those. And the chairs, completely uncomfortable.
You just hope some lady goes by in a sexy outfit. Or you watch guy. You bet on how long it's been since the guy shaved.
Yeah.
They get some thick beards. In Moscow. I think it's the weather. It makes sense.
You're hoping that the vodka will kick in on that guy on the last bar stool just so you'll have some entertainment of some
watch
kind.
Fall down.
They'll fall off. They'll give you a fight. You want anything to happen just to take up the time.
I see what you're saying, though. If I go to Moscow, bring plenty of books.
Right.
You can't go into the bookstore in the airport and pick anything up.
No. You
forget about that.
There's nothing you're going to be able to get there. And maybe a can of tuna fish.
Now, what about technology now? Now they have, which I know this wouldn't work in Moscow, the Kindle. But, I mean, it would work. You could read it, but you couldn't download books if you were in Moscow.
Right. No, you'd want to do that before you go.
But it holds 1,500 books. If you bought one of those babies, you and you got maybe 1,000, you don't need all 1,500.
By the way,
you got 1,000 books in there.
Well, it's 1,000 books or War and Peace. Either
or a Russian novel.
Which would be appropriate right. to read there. And we'll come back with more with Jake Johansson in the studio here after we check your KTRS traffic. It's the Big 550 KTRS. Paul Harris sitting here with comedian Jake Johansson. I joked with Jake when he first got here that whenever he appears on a radio show with me, we never have planned out anything that we're going to talk about. There are places where you go, whether it's on a TV talk show or elsewhere, where they need to know ahead of time what material are you going to be doing.
Well, they want to have a plan because they want to make sure that there's something to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But we both trust each other to be able to talk. If the other person stops talking,
yeah.
I start talking.
Right.
I mean, that's my whole marriage is based on that.
I think the concept of conversation is based on that. But there are a lot of people in my business who couldn't do that. If you stop talking and they didn't have another question ready to go, there'd be dead air.
Well, I get that on a show like Letterman. You know, you go on Letterman, and the part where you're doing your stand-up, where I'm doing my act,
mm-hmm.
of course, that's you have that worked out ahead of time, what you're doing. But a lot of people are surprised that you'll talk to, you don't talk to him, but you talk to someone on the show who says, what do you want to talk to Dave about?
Mm-hmm.
So that you can say, I have a new dog, or my daughter just had a birthday party, or my grandmother is an astronaut.
Yeah.
So that he can, because how could he know that? He can't
right.
know. He might just ask you boring, stupid stuff, and you're only on there for three, 4 minutes.
He may not be following you on Twitter, and he doesn't know
about
grandma.
He doesn't know all the things going on with you. Nowadays, yeah, of course, on Twitter. Now, I did a radio interview where a guy asked me a question about a thing that I did, a movie that I had shot a small part in that hadn't even come out yet. But the guy who was doing the movie had put up promo for it and included my name because he was excited that I was involved.
Wow.
And so that was a freak out if someone's asking you a question about a thing that you thought that I didn't even think my wife knew that I did that. But she doesn't follow any of that stuff. She calls it my face, but she mixes them together, but she's got that, but she doesn't do.
Well, she does have your face. That's the thing. She doesn't need to follow you on Twitter and Facebook and all the rest, because she assumes that when you come home every day or from a road trip like this for the weekend, when you come home, you'll tell her what's new in your life.
Well, and there is a little bit of, like, I was talking to someone the other night. There's a little who was a friend, and he said, are we friends on Facebook? And I said, you know, I don't know, but you have my phone number. You know, you
yeah.
can, you don't have to go on Facebook and try and guesswork private eye what I'm doing. You can just call me and ask me.
Yeah.
I'll just tell you.
Right.
You know, I have time for that. It's not like I'm so busy that it's like, hey, check the Facebook. Although I do. Now, this is a thing that friends will do. They say, oh, I'm going to support you. I'm playing down in Irvine for a week, for example, which is an hour south of Los Angeles. So they want to drive down and see the show.
Mm-hmm.
What time does the show start? How long does the drive take? When should we get there? Can you put our name down to reserve for tickets? It's like, I got to do the show, and I got to make that same stupid drive, except I got to do it every night. Could you maybe call or check the website to find out your own show time? I just know what time I leave. I don't know what time you need to go.
You want them to take personal responsibility and not put it on you. You're already going to entertain them. Isn't that enough?
Yeah, well, you don't call up, Mick Jagger. Hey, I see you're coming to the Big Dome, and we'd like to come and see the show. What time do you think we should leave
bad?
Our house? We live... You know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, I don't know. I want to help you. I want to help you, and I appreciate the support. But
absolutely.
Seriously.
Absolutely. There are certain aspects of this that have to be on you, not on me.
You got to get the internet. It's awesome. You can find out everything on there.
Now, I got to ask you about a story that I read this morning that apparently the United States and our fine space agency, NASA, which I know you follow on a regular basis.
I love NASA.
Does not have the money to find all the asteroids that could eventually wipe out human life if they hit the Earth. Are you concerned about this?
Well, I read an article about this in a magazine, Harper's Magazine, a few years ago, and they don't have the money. They couldn't have the money because it's an infinite number. And the one that's going to hit us, this is the thing, it's hard to spot. Just like it's hard to judge a fly ball that's hit right at you,
mm-hmm.
the asteroid that's going to hit us is coming straight at us. So it's like a pin spot that just is going to get infinitesimally larger until right before it hits us. And then we're going to realize, oh, it's over. And we're just going to have time to run in the basement, which is going to be futile.
Right.
Because the Earth is going to be destroyed anyway. So
mm-hmm.
the whole thing is, yeah, well, I'm worried, of course, that the giant asteroid will hit the Earth just destroy us just like the dinosaurs. But, you know, we can't even we can't even get electric cars. We don't care. We're smoking ourselves out. You know what I mean? We lit the fire to smoke ourselves out of the house. Yeah. So what do we care? Yeah, an asteroid might hit the Earth. I'm not scared of that. Asteroid, are you kidding me?
But wouldn't it be ironic if we did fix all of our environmental problems and that's the day the asteroid comes?
Hit by a bus, yeah. Well, you know, you go to the gym, but you still could get hit by a bus.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're just doing our best. But yeah, I believe we could get hit by an asteroid. The chances are good. It happened. You know, the dinosaurs. Ask the dinosaurs.
Right.
We're here because of a lucky asteroid accident.
And we're hit by little pieces of space stuff all the time. That's what meteorites are.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, you know, we're talking about a grander scale, like something the size of Texas coming and hitting the Earth.
And it wouldn't even have to be that big. The thing that hits the Earth, if it's moving fast enough, if it's just as big as a house, it could take out a whole state.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know.
Here's the problem I have with this. I don't want them to even be talking about this publicly. Not that I think I want there to be a conspiracy theory or anything.
Because you think it'll create panic?
Well, I just think that humans are not good at handling situations like there might be an asteroid coming that will wipe out civilization.
And probably most near the prime beachfront property in California. If you'd like to unload now at 50% of your home's value, because I'm willing to take that risk and you're not, please get in touch with me at jakethis.com. Because I'm not saying I can asteroid-proof your house. I'm just saying I can take it off your hands for 50% of its appraised value.
And you'd want them to move here to the center of the country?
Hey, where they move is their business. I'm not trying to control people. I'm just trying to help somebody out of a situation. That's all.
Why is it that you assume that the asteroid would hit necessarily there?
That's where I want to live. I mean, if the asteroid hits, you know, the middle of the hot dirt part of Texas where it's one of those big cows with the longhorns.
Yeah.
You know, that's sad for the cow, but we're not worried about that.
Right.
We have to worry about, like, New York City. Do you have a penthouse in New York City that you'd like to get rid of? I might be willing to pick that up as well.
Really, really cheap because the asteroid's coming?
Really cheap if you're in a panic.
Yeah.
Billionaires don't panic, though. They don't panic. They're the people who are buying. I'm trying to think like a billionaire. What would I do if my neighbor was afraid of getting hit by an asteroid? I'd buy his house for half off. That's what
I
do.
So you want to encourage the government to make more pronouncements like this. There are so many asteroids out there that one of them is going to hit us, and we can't do anything about it.
I think this is the perfect kind of fear that we can handle, though, is because it's just this nebulous, like, what do we know? An asteroid? How would you get ready for it? What could you do? It's not like these other kinds of fears where they stir you up about, like, aren't we all dead from Ebola or SARS or swine flu or bird flu.
West Nile virus.
Every chance they get, they're trying to scare us. People are wearing a mask. I wanted to get one of those hospital masks that said "Kiss is $5" just to see if I could make a little money. I think that those are the fears that get so scary where then someone can step in, not in a joke way, like buy your house, but step in and make a fortune selling you hospital masks and ridiculous
exploiting the situation
medicines that you're never going to need, but then you put in your drawer and they'll go bad
right.
Meanwhile, but you feel like you're somehow safer.
I got two words for you, radon detectors. If I had been the guy who'd thought up that one, have you heard a story with the word radon in it in the last 10 years? But if you go back to the 90s, radon was going to kill all of us. Do you remember that word?
It was a panic. Yeah, well, they loved it. But this is, don't even talk to me about this, Paul, because you're part of the problem. You're one of the guys. You're one of the guys who's on the radio. Like, when I go, when it's not just jokey time, come out to the funny bone, then you're busy interviewing the radon fear man.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No,
I know
you know
you
I'm Mr. Perspective on these things. I'm the rational one who says,
yeah,
don't
you're
worry.
Right.
Don't,
you're right.
No, I don't have a radon detector. I don't have a CO2 detector.
Do you
in
have
my
a
house.
Bunch of duct tape in case of the, you know, it's the blast? So
no.
You can...
No, I don't go for any of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's just so ridiculous. The people are. Well, that's the first thing that happens in California. Earthquake. No one is bothered. No one is bothered to go and buy groceries and put water and some food in your house, because if you have, then if something happens, you just stay in your house
right.
and eat your groceries and wait for it to calm down.
Yes.
What does everybody do? They immediately go to the store and buy stuff. And what do they buy? Milk. It's like, how much milk do you need? You need milk to last your day. If you got a half gallon of milk in the fridge, you don't need to go buy milk. But they immediately sell out of milk because people go and not just buy a half gallon, which is the amount that they would usually get if they were out. They buy all the milk they can get.
That's like, exactly right. We have the same thing here, not with earthquakes, but with any snow. We will get a dusting of snow, less than a quarter inch of snow, and immediately the grocery stores are out of milk and bread. That's it. It's the milk and bread panic. People have to go. And I always
people
wonder...
love French toast in a crisis. They just love it.
You're right, because eggs is the third part of that trifecta that makes it. But you don't have any of that stuff in your house that could last you, 24 hours?
Or what if, hey, what if you didn't have any milk for a week? I mean, is it really? Milk is awesome, and yes. I love milk in my coffee. I like milk in my cereal.
You've
sometimes
got a daughter.
A
she probably has
milk.
To have
my
a lot of milk.
My daughter likes milk.
Yeah.
We love milk.
No problem.
But if we didn't have any milk for a week,
yeah.
I think we could figure it out at our house.
You agree.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, people are a little bit crazy. But the hard thing is, to me, what do you do if you're freaked out about this meteor accident? You can't helmet. That's ridiculous. I can't even believe I brought that up.
There's your sales item, yeah. By the way. Your anti-asteroid helmet.
The anti-asteroid helmet. And here's the thing you also want is anybody who's putting tinfoil in your hat
yeah.
to prevent the waves from controlling your brain,
yeah.
that's useless unless you've got a chin strap.
Well, we...
Because it can come from beneath as well.
Fine, we'll leave it there. Jake Johansson's at the Funny Bone. Two shows tonight, three shows tomorrow night. The Funny Bone at Westport, and he's online at jakethis.com. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Jake Johansson here with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.